So I'm just going to have a bunch of really great information to share with you to kind of help you increase anything you're doing, really. A lot of what I teach, even at the World Ventures trainings that are specific towards building the business, at least 50% of those days are just success principles. They're just universal, you know what I mean? So you can apply them to almost anything. If you're trying to lose weight and you apply these principles, they'll work. If you're trying to start any kind of business, they'll work. If you're trying to get an A in a class in school, they'll work. You know what I mean? If you're trying to learn how to speak a new language, they'll work. I mean, success principles. So what I do is just try to laser focus them into whatever that company needs. And in World Ventures, obviously, we have very specific needs. So we teach some techniques. You have to know how to do the techniques of any particular business, but a lot of it is just you being a better person. You know, the one thing is, if you want to make money, money only comes from one place. Have you all heard that money doesn't grow on trees? Did you hear that? It's like, that's the funniest thing. Like, how many of you, when you were a little kid, at some point when you were a really little kid, did any of you think that money grew on trees? Did any of you run in the backyard to pick money off a tree? It's like, like most kids that I know, they do a lot of interesting things, but trying to pick money off a tree is not one of them. But somehow that expression became so common and popular. And obviously the declaration there is that money is not easy to come by. You know what I mean? It's scarce, which is a whole different teaching point. Is a lot of people in their conscious mind are trying to get rich and be successful financially, but underneath all of that stuff, in our unconscious mind, sometimes many of us think money's not a good thing. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, let me just touch on that for a couple minutes, because I don't know if you know someone who's tried to quit smoking or tried to quit drinking or tried to quit whatever bad habit they have, trying to lose weight, or they're trying to stop eating rich foods, and they just have a really hard time achieving it. And the reason is their willpower says, I want to stop this bad behavior. But a habit, according to psychologists, is 10,000 times more powerful than your willpower, because your willpower is your conscious mind, what you're thinking about, your habits. And we all know that we're creatures of habits. It's our unconscious mind. We just do those things without even thinking about them. So it's really difficult to do things that have not become a habit. So the good news is, if you do the right behavior 21 days in a row, they say you can create or break your old pattern, your old habit, and create a new one. But you really need to do it at least 2 21-day cycles in a row to really cement it as a new habit. So again, going back to a lot of things go in our unconscious mind and we don't know they're not there. And when you're driving a car, right, I think you can all relate to this analogy. In a lot of cars, you can see forward, you can look in your mirror, you can look in this mirror, and then you can look over your shoulder. Sometimes you have to look there, because if you're just using your rear view mirror and your side view mirror, there's what's called a blind spot, right? There's blind spots. Well, think about this one. We all know what we know, right? We all know what we know, and we also know what we don't know. Like, I know there's a bunch of stuff I don't know, but our blind spot is the stuff we don't know we don't know. Right? And you know, if you go into your blind spot in a highway, it'll kill you. And a lot of times in business and or sometimes in life, what you don't know can end up becoming quite a problem for you. So when I, for about, I don't know, maybe 7 years in the real world, I was working really, really, really hard. And I really, in my conscious mind, wanted to make a bunch of money. But I had heard a lot of stuff like, money can't buy happiness. I heard that money was the root of all evil. Did you hear any of that stuff? Yeah. Money can't buy happiness. I would love to debate that. Money may not buy happiness, but it at least leases it for sure. I mean, it's money is the root of all evil, obviously, is a misquote quote, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, and I believe that. And I think we can see many examples in the world, Wall Street, you know, over the last 5 years or so, or during all the crisis and corruption would be a great example of it. But the point is that money, saying that money is the root of all evil is like saying chairs are the root of all evil. I mean, money's an inanimate object. How can tablecloths be the root of all evil? You know what I mean? It's what are you willing to do? Are you willing to be unethical? And so, again, I never thought or processed any of this stuff, but the truth was every time I started making a lot of money, I kind of self-sabotaged it because without realizing it, I was afraid to make a lot of money. I was also told that rich people are not happy. You know what I mean? That, you know, oh, those rich people, they're lonely. How many heard it's lonely at the top? You know, go to the High Rollers Lounge. If you can talk your way into the High Rollers Lounge here at the, I'm not a big time gambler, but Wes Melchers, you know, works at the company, and Johnny Wimbrey are. And then also I have a buddy in Singapore who's really a high stakes gambler. And if you think this casino is packed with people spending lots of money, you can't even believe what goes on in Asia, in Macau and in Singapore. Those casinos, the high rollers rooms, it's the high roller rooms are usually fairly empty here, or you know, they're not empty, but they're not packed. The high roller rooms over there look like the regular casino floor here. I mean, it is insane what the economy is like over there, especially with Chinese people and how much money they have to burn. And it's funny. But the point is, it was not lonely. I've been to a lot of really nice restaurants. As a matter of fact, I tried to get into my favorite really nice restaurant last time I was in New York, per se, and I couldn't get in because it was too crowded. If it's lonely at the top, shouldn't it be empty all the time? So I'm just saying that we hear a lot of these things, and usually money can't buy happiness and it's lonely at the top is not people like Donald Trump saying it. It's not people like Richard Branson saying it. It's a bunch of people who don't have a lot of money rationalizing and justifying, probably after approximately five drinks, and saying, you know, it's lonely at the top, but here it's awesome. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, so I have a lot of problems going on. Maybe you don't have problems. One of the things that I, in that regard, I had issues. And then I learned, and I don't even remember where I learned. I don't know if I read it in a book or was talking to someone. But someone said, look, you know, people, first of all, I start off by this whole thing that saying that money doesn't grow on trees. The money does grow somewhere. It grows on people, okay? That's where you get money from. It doesn't come from the bank. Who puts money in the bank? People. It doesn't come from the lottery. Who puts money in the lottery? People. It doesn't come from the casino. Who puts money in the casino? People. So money comes from people. So if you want a lot of money, you've got to get really good at interacting with people. You know, I'm reading the book right now, which I probably will reference 63 times while we're here. Stephen Jobs, the book about Steve Jobs. They just made a movie, which the movie, if you did see the movie, was not based on the book. There's another movie coming out next year that is based on the book. The book's very different than the movie. But the point is, Steve Jobs, his first go around to Apple was just sort of the biggest jackass maybe ever. Like, his ability to deal with people was so bad that even though he was one of the most brilliant minds in the world, a lot of people thought he'd be ready to kick him out of his own company just because he was that annoying. Imagine being that smart, that successful, that charismatic, but still having people dislike you so much they try to get rid of you. I mean, it's kind of an interesting lesson. But the point is, then he came back and he learned some hard lessons and he humbled himself. And when he came back for not that he was a sweet guy, but he was a lot more likable and understood that connecting with people is important. So again, if you want to have a happy life, your ability to connect with people is important. You want to make a bunch of money, your ability to connect with people is important. I've learned over the years, have you ever heard it's not what you know, it's who you know? Another good way to put it is network equals net worth. That one kind of hit me right between the eyes. You know, who do you know? Your network will determine your net worth. So it's not just your network. See, a lot of people say, well, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, let me put it to you in an even better way. It's not who you know, it's who knows you. I'll give you an example. Years ago, my wife and I have been connected with Big Brothers and Big Sisters for years, charitable organization. Now we do most of our work with the foundation at World Ventures, but we still are on the board of Big Brothers and all that stuff. And we go in their charity ball every year, and we always, you know, donate X amount of dollars or buy something at the auction. They have some really cool auction items. And one year they auctioned off lunch with Mark Cuban, which I thought would be interesting just because I'm a basketball fan. He owns the Mavericks, but more importantly, he's a multi-billionaire, which I thought would be interesting. So in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to go for like 50,000 or something like that. I think it was like 6,000 or 7,000 we won it for. So we went to lunch with Mark Cuban, and that was a really powerful, interesting situation. And I'll tell you, there's a reason why the haves have and have-nots have not. I learned a bunch of stuff sitting down with Mark. You want to talk about thinking at a whole different level. And again, I could do a whole seminar just about what I learned from him during 1 2-hour lunch period. But a lot of it has to do with, are you likable and do people buy into, are you enthusiastic, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And it many times resonates from, do you believe in what you're doing? So let me go back to the other point I was making about money being the root of all evil, and maybe you're not congruent in your mind, you know, feel bad about making a bunch of money. Sometimes people feel if you're in sales and you're selling, you're screwing people by taking their money. Do you think there's any salespeople in the world who just want to make money and could care less about what their customer gets as a product? Do you think there are people like that? How many think there's a lot of them? Yeah. So those people put a bad taste in many of our mouths. If you ever got trained by a guy named Zig Ziglar, there's no way that Zig would say, you're not a salesman, you're an assistant buyer. Don't sit across the table from your prospect, sit on the same side of the table with them. You're a problem solver. Find out what their problem is. And if your product or service solves their problem, then sell it to them. If it doesn't, don't. If you wouldn't want the person on the other side of the table selling the product to you, then don't sell it to somebody else. So it goes back to just being the right kind of person, being a good person, and really caring about your customer and giving them what the best value is. So if you really think that way, and I always talk about when you're selling, just like everything, it's all what's in your mind. There are people that sell Mercedes-Benz cars and they sell one car a year, and there's other people that sell Mercedes-Benz and they sell three a day. You know, so what's the difference between one person and the other? You know, there's people who get involved in World Ventures as a rep and make over $1 million a year. There's people who get involved in World Ventures and never, ever, ever get one person on their team. Now, is there any difference in the product? See, the deal is, whether we're selling Mercedes or whatever it is, there's three parts to every opportunity. There's the product, which if we're in math class, that would be considered a constant. Okay, it never changes. We don't have pink Mercedes for the ladies, salesmen, and blue ones for the boys. And, you know, we don't have, the product is always the same. You have the compensation. Now, in certain places in the real world, sometimes there is a disparity in compensation. Some companies, many companies, you can only go so far if you have a college degree. You can't go any further if you don't have a degree or have a master's. Or sometimes the pay scale with men and women is a little unequal, although obviously it's much more equal than it used to be. But in many cases, certainly in sales, or any kind of business, you get paid what you're worth. I love when people say, I want to get paid what I'm worth, and then you put them in a straight commission thing and they freak out. It's like, if you want to get paid what you're worth, this is pretty much, if you don't understand that, on a job, and if you don't get this, again, you'll have to take it from me. Just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Kiyosaki does such a great job in the first couple chapters of that book explaining. It's like, your boss rents you or sells you retail and buys you wholesale. So they buy your services wholesale, and they pay you less money than you would make in the real world if you had your own company. Usually, and Kiyosaki just says, because most people are afraid to go out and try to do it on their own, so I can afford to pay you a lot less because you don't have the guts to go out and do it on your own. So I'll pay you enough where you're where you get enough to get by, but I'm not going to pay you any more than that because I don't have to. So they buy us wholesale and sell us retail. So they keep the difference because they're the one taking all the risk and own the company. If you're in marketing and sales and you make a straight commission, the money's the same, the product's the same. The variable is us. You know what I mean? And more specifically, it's our mindset. You know what I mean? Henry Ford said, the man who thinks he can and the man who thinks he can't are both right. I mean, I go back to that quote time after time after time after time after time. So in your mind, think about whatever product or service you're selling. If in your mind, if you think of apothecary scales, if in your mind what you're selling has this much value and you're asking for this much money, you're going to sell it almost every time. I'm selling you this much value for this much money. For example, if I were to say, hey, the presidential suite in this hotel is normally not even for sale. Normally it's only for like big time gamblers who have at least $1 million they're playing. But if they do sell it, they sell it for $100,000 a night. But if you want it tonight, I can get it for $300. How many of you could probably sell the suite if it was available for $300? Because again, you'd be going, oh my God, it's normally $100,000, it's only $300. You would be able to sell that easily. If I said, hey, whatever car it is that is your ideal car, if it's normally $50,000, we have one on the market, just came in, we have to blow out and clear out our entire lot for real because we have all the cars coming in tomorrow. So we'll sell that car today and today only for 50% off, only $25,000. Again, how many of us could sell that car? Because in our mind, we're asking for this much money for that much value. Now, flip it the other way. What if in your mind, the product you're selling, you're asking for this much money and you think it's worth that much? A lot of people don't use the products they sell, which is like, it's like the beginning of, what are you thinking? If I were telling you, oh my God, you've got to have a Mercedes. I'm not kidding you, Mercedes is the best car in the world. And you go, that's awesome. Which model do you have? And I'm like, well, I drive a Hyundai. But you should definitely get it. I'm not even kidding you. Like, Mercedes is the best. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't make sense. Or I'm sitting here, don't get me started talking about Macs versus PCs, because I'll piss you off. But it's like, I said, my boy Dan Stamen and I, Dan's my buddy, he's the board member at World Ventures. And so many times we'll sit down and we work on projects together. I'll pull out my Mac, I'll just turn it on. He'll pull out his PC. I swear to God, I'm online in 5 seconds. 5 seconds. No exaggeration, no lie, 5 seconds. 8 minutes later, he's still trying to get it going. I'm like, oh my God. So I will, for me to sit there and go, you've got to have a Mac. You don't understand. Yes, they're more money, but they're this better. That. Well, great. Well, let me see yours. Oh, I still have a PC, but... You know what I mean? It's incongruent. It doesn't make sense. So you've got to... sell something that you use yourself. If you wouldn't buy it yourself, how can you possibly expect somebody else to do it? In your mind, if you have this much value and you're asking for this much money, that's where a lot of people are. They're like, yeah, I think the product we sell is okay, but I could see why people say no. If that's where you're at, again, it's hit or miss. You really should only, in my opinion, sell something that you think is worth this and you're asking that for it. Like when I do coaching, I do one-on-one personal coaching and it's very expensive. I charge $5,000 per hour and I normally do a 5-hour minimum. So it's $25,000 and I know that's a lot of money, but I believe I'm offering this much value for that much money. I really do. I don't price anything I do like this. I price everything like this because I want to feel really, really, really good about selling it. That's just the way I am. We talk about personality I'm not the kind of person that will just sell whatever I can get for a product because I can get it. I really want the customer to look at whatever they buy from me and go, wow, that was so valuable. I want you, again, and that's not the way everybody thinks, but let me get to my point. If that's the way you really are, if you're getting this much, I'm sorry, you're giving this much value and getting this much money, and you're truly helping people by selling your product or service, then should a lot of people buy your product or service? If an independent person were observing and saw that you were selling something of amazing value at a very reasonable price, would they say, yeah, I mean, people should buy it? Well, if a lot of people buy it, shouldn't you make a lot of money? What's wrong with you making a lot of money? So, I mean, it doesn't matter how much I make. If I sell this phone, and every time I sell this phone, I make $5, but I sell 6 million of them, well, that's $30 million, isn't it? I don't know, my math's not really good. It's a lot. So I'm just saying, what's wrong with that? I don't understand what's wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with making a lot of money if I'm giving my consumer more value. The other part of it is, I don't know what you do with your money once you get it. A lot of people have what's called in economics a scarcity mindset, or a negative mindset, if you want to look at it that way, that there's not enough money, that even if I'm making a lot of money now, it won't last very long. I've got to quote unquote save my pennies for a rainy day. They're very competitive. They only want to succeed themselves. They don't like it when their competitors succeed. It's a scarcity mindset as opposed to an abundance mindset. An abundance mindset is, I want to do well, but if the other companies do well too, that's great. It's better for the overall industry. I don't wish anyone ill will. If I'm doing well myself, I don't care what anyone else is doing. Or I believe there's so much money coming in, and it's going to keep coming in forever and ever and ever. So one of the things I learned in church growing up was you're supposed to take the first 10% of what you make and give it to God. It's a biblical principle. If you're not into the Bible, bear with me on this. If you're into the Bible, it's not a suggestion. It's kind of like it's a rule. It's not one of the Ten Commandments, but I think it's still pretty high up there that you're supposed to give your 10%. And it says it's supposed to be the first 10%, not like, let me pay all my bills, and if I have 10% left over, God, you're good to go. I got your, hookup this month. You're supposed to take, but get the concept. It's the first 10% you give back. It's out of gratitude, out of respect, out of everything, but also it's an abundance mentality. See, if you don't give the first 10%, that means you're not sure you're going to have enough. So you wait until you get everything else that's important to you, and then you do whatever. Now, again, if you don't do the tithing thing, I really believe one of the best books I've read in my life is a book called The Richest Man in Babylon. And in that book, it says, take the first 10% of what you make, give it away. If you're into church, give it to God. If you're not into church, give it to charity. Give it to someone less fortunate to you. Then the second 10% do for your long-term savings, your retirement. And then the third 10%, you should get rid of your debt, eradicate debt so you're not a slave to debt. And then live on the remaining 70%. It's a phenomenal concept. Every time I get an opportunity to talk to a group of kids, I teach it, because teaching it to you is like difficult, because we're creatures of habit. And if you're used to living on 100% of your paycheck, to switch it at age 49 is not as easy to learn it at age 12. So my kids, ever since they've gotten any money, whether it be allowance, a part-time job, running a lemonade stand, we're very nice. We're very cool with our kids. We're not strict disciplinarians, but we are with this concept. You could, whatever you make, 30% goes over here, 70%, go out and buy the most idiotic thing you want to buy. I don't care what my youngest daughter is into buying vinyl records right now. Isn't that hilarious? I'm like, do you know, like we all got rid of our vinyl records? But anyway, yesterday, again, we were in the store, and there were like these three vinyl records she really wanted, but she only had enough money with the 70% of her income to get two of them. And she's like, can't I just get three, Dad, just this one time? And I'm like, nope. Nope. We cannot break that rule. Some rules are breakable. This rule is unbreakable, because I want her to develop the habit of living on 70%. And again, do whatever you want. Do the 30%. But if it's pretty sound logic to give the first 10% away, then your investments, then reduce your debt. Kiyosaki would say, put the first 10% towards your long-term investments. then do the charity, and then do the debt reduction. But I'm not Kiyosaki, so do whatever you want, just throwing the stuff out there. But the concept is the abundance mentality is giving now first. If you have any issue that you can identify in your conscious mind, thinking that there's something wrong with making a lot of money, that somehow it makes you a bad person or greedy or whatever it is, try giving away the first 10% of what you make, and I have a funny feeling that will help you feel a lot better, because again, then the more money you make, the more you're giving away. And if you can see the good that comes from giving your money away, then again, that's one of my wife and my goals this year, is to give away $1 million. We're excited to give away $1 million in a calendar year because, you know, why not? You know, there's a lot of organizations that lead a lot of money. The good news is that would leave $9 million left over, so that won't suck either. So, but anyway, okay.